Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm LeVar Ball, and you're listening to the Load Management Podcast, the best in the business.
What's going on, everybody? Brand new episode of the Load Management Podcast. Your man Chops out in New York City, living the dream. Got my man Adam out in LA, our good buddy Zion with us as well. Very special episode today. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this. We have the one and only Big Baller Brand Chief, LeVar Ball. Great conversation. Obviously, talked about everything going on with his sons, LaMelo, everything. Adam, really fun conversation.
Yeah, I mean, LeVar did his thing. He hyped up his boys, as to be expected, but we also talked about the relaunch of the Big Baller Brand and what he sees is the best fit for LaMelo, whether that's the Knicks, the Cavs, the Warriors, or whatever. But yeah, LeVar bought the energy and plenty of awesome sound bites, and we appreciate him rolling through.
Yeah, everybody except for Luke Walton will enjoy this podcast, I think. Yeah.
Luke took a few veiled shots, but that was to be expected.
Yeah, so really fun conversation. Talked some Last Dance with him, too, and his thoughts just on kind of the NBA in general and Roc Nation. And a whole lot of stuff. A great
episode. Little Jay-Z talk, too, you know.
A little Jay-Z talk in there, too, so a lot of fun. So let's get to it. We have a very special guest this week, none other than LeVar Ball, BBB, Big Baller Brand, the man, the myth, the legend. LeVar, what's going on?
Man, I like your intro, baby. Bring a lot of energy before we even get started.
That's what I do. We thank you for joining
us.
Hey,
I like that. I like that.
First off, LeVar, how are you doing? How is everything? Are you doing to pass the time inside? All that kind of stuff.
Everything is good. I ain't changed. I'm doing the same thing I always been doing. Only thing now, all my boys is here, so I'm training all of them. It's like old days. Ain't no way to go, no restaurants, and nothing is open. So guess what? Come get your workout on, hang with the fam for a minute, and then go about your business.
Are they running sprints in that palace over there, the Big Baller Brand Palace?
Oh, you know I got to take them back to the hills, man. I got to take them back to the real work. We up in the hills running, man.
Speaking of your boys.
Yes.
Some big months coming up for LaMelo.
Obviously, all of them
for sure, but LaMelo with the draft coming up.
Yes.
Is he going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft? Let's just get right to it.
I already told him that. I mean, don't it make sense? Listen, I'm going to tell you all, break it down to you again. Whoever is the most popular is usually going to go number one. That's what happened. I told him that's why Zion was the most popular last year. Why? That's why he went number one. I mean, RJ, what's that boy named? RJ Barrett. He was pretty good, too. He was doing better, actually, for Duke. But he wasn't as popular as Zion. And the number two guy was your number one point guard in the draft, which was Jay Morant. So, hey, in Melo, you got the most popular and the best guard. Who ain't going to take him number one?
But LeVar, what are you hearing from agents and other NBA execs and people around the league? What are they telling you?
Hey, they ain't telling me a goddamn thing. They ain't got to tell me nothing. I already know.
But you got to have some intel. You got to have some inside information.
I got enough intel, and it's all up here in the Big Baller's knowledge. That's right. Why I already know. I put things together, and I say, you know what? Y'all ain't got to tell me nothing. Folks are saying he go number five. He ain't going at all. No teams want him. Stay away from him. His father's bad. Shoot, how you think he got to be this good?
Well, LeVar, let me ask you, what if the Warriors get the number one pick? They have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry already. They
ain't sick, but I'll tell you what they don't got, a LaMelo Ball. That boy young, can play the game.
So you think LaMelo and Steph are good?
Let me tell you this, LaMelo and you are good. LaMelo, my boys work with anybody.
Don't give young Zion anybody that much credit.
Yeah, let's not hype up have Zion a jumper like that. Yeah, let's not hype up.
No,
Zion
I got
like
a jumper, bro.
LeVar, it's interesting that you say Zion. Zion was the best player on Duke last year. Come on, he was the most popular. He was the best player.
He was most popular. But hey, if you watch the game, the go to guy was Barrett. Now Zion had the dunks and stuff, but look who was in there for a longer period of time.
Well, Barrett also, too, was projected by, you know, the mock drafts before the season started to be the number one guy. And
exactly.
Barrett had a very productive season, but Zion Williamson had a historic
Zion,
season.
Zion, when you dunking and doing stuff like that, it's more excitement. So everybody was like, man, the way he was built, and it was just like his aura was just getting bigger and bigger, especially with the highlight plays he had, which made him one of the most popular guys in the game.
So let me ask you this. How's the aura of LaMelo compared to the aura of Zion Williamson?
Melo's is better. On the fact, Melo worldwide. Why? Because Melo worldwide. You take Duke to, you take Zion to Germany or Lithuania or Latvia, Estonia, London, they don't know who he is. Ooh. You take Melo over there, you know who he is.
I don't know about Zion had a million,
like
five,
I
two
said,
million in high
take
school.
Him over there and see. Ask who Zion is. They look at you crazy. Like, who is Zion?
Hey, Drake knew who Zion was in high school.
Ask Canadian. You right there. Go a little further. You go across the world, you're going to know about the ball boys. I guarantee that.
That's a fact.
We've been in 15 different countries. Come on.
That's a fact. And LaMelo, on the court, what do you think about his development and how teams see his development going the route of playing Lithuania in Australia and not the college route?
Well, his development, here it is. It don't matter how you develop. This is the thing. If you don't have good work ethic, you're not going to get better. You can have the best development in the world, but if you don't have no good work ethic, you're not going to get better. But if you want to be the best in the world, that's the work ethic that all three of my boys, that's what they're striving for. They ain't striving for, hey, man, let me get to the NBA so I can make me some money. They're not worried about that money. They're worried about being the best players ever, and they all got a good start.
LaVar, you've talked extensively how you've thought and think LaMelo is going to be the best of your boys, but do you remember the moment when you felt that? Was it, you know, when he was 14, 12, or whatever, or you saw him at some game, but do you remember that one moment where you're like, LaMelo's going to be the best?
I always said it like, the youngest is usually the best. And my oldest is Lonzo, he the first. He the best right now. Jello has the potential to be the best on the fact that when you go up in levels, the plays stay the same. It's just players get stronger and faster. And Jello is like that naturally. That's why he's the only one built like me. That's why I can't wait for him to get in the league. And like I said, before Jello even was playing, he was playing on 1 foot. Now he had that surgery on his ankle. I got to see him super strong with 2 feet. He's going to kill him. And then Melo has the experience of doing everything earlier. So he's going to be the best in the long run.
We had Jay Billis on this pod probably a month ago. And he said,
who is Jay Billis?
You know who Jay Billis is.
Oh yeah, that's the one I don't like. Yeah. The Rudy.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. Okay,
well, he said that LaMelo had a Kardashian-like come up, and that
like I'm saying, you're supposed to be a basketball player. What you doing watching the Kardashians? Anybody who start off with the Kardashians, that's why I tell them stay off of that show, man.
Yeah, but you guys have a reality show.
It's what?
You guys have a reality show.
Yeah, but we basketball players, man.
But you're casting shade on the Kings of Reality. You guys have a reality show.
Who's the king of reality?
The Kardashians.
A lot of people would say the Kardashians.
Are you
going
to be a queen and be the king?
Kanye's on the show.
Kanye? One Kanye and all of the rest of them women? Come on, man. We got one woman as Tina's the queen and we the kings.
So you don't think that LaMelo's come up, how he came up, in the spotlight is going to turn away NBA teams.
Let me ask you this. So you want all your superstars to come from a humble beginning and from the ghetto for you to like them? That's basically what you're trying to say. Who cares about Melo, how he came up with money or whatever? Here's the thing. He came up being respectful. You never see him in no trouble. So don't be like, oh, he's not going to be a good player because – here's the thing. You're not going to get no killers like I got coming out of Chino Hills. You don't go to Chino Hills to get no players. You don't go to Thousand Oaks or Beverly Hills to get no monsters. You go to these lower income neighborhoods, and that's where all your superstars come from. It's just mine come from a different place, but their mindset is the same. But folks be like, oh, nah, they're not grimy enough. He up in the spotlight. Guess what? Everybody, when you get to the league, you in the spotlight. Aren't you trying to get to the spotlight? When you want to be the best player, you don't want to be basic. If nobody asks about you after no games and they don't ask you, what's your name, where you from, how old are you, you're not going to be nothing. You're going to be all right. But when they ask you questions, you're going to be in the spotlight. He's been in the spotlight since he's been a baby. We was playing AAU. Melo, we playing 17U, so we playing up. Lonzo like 14, 13. Melo was 11 years old. Even if you a scout in the gym, you have to go look at that game just to say, let me see what an 11-year-old's going to do in a 17U if I look at him for 1 minute. So there's a spotlight right there. That's been on him all his life. So ain't nothing going to change.
All right, so if the spotlight comes on him when the draft goes down, hypothetically in the summertime or whatever, we don't know who's going to get that pick. And you've been on the record saying that you would like him to go to the Knicks. We just asked you, you know, how we'd fit with the Warriors, but are you still kind of on board with New York would be the best spot for LaMelo to go?
I think so. The bright lights on the East Coast, man, if everything line up right, and the Knicks get first pick, get Melo, and then get Jello with them, and somehow get Lonzo in the long run, shoot. That's, hey, triple Bs. Ball boys on Broadway.
I was about to ask, Lonzo.
Quadruple Bs.
Yeah. How are you feeling with Lonzo in New Orleans? How has that been for you watching that?
Why? Hey, you know what? It's good watching him on the fact that you have a coach that believes in him. Mm-hmm. Finally, you know. Lonzo's healthy. He always played the same to me. You know, it's just giving him the opportunity. Now they're like, okay, Lonzo, here are the keys. Do what you do. And he's very good at making everybody around him better. So to see him play his old style, which is good, you know, I never doubted him and been like, wow, he's with the Lakers. I was like, he's not playing his way because the coach don't know how to use him. You know, because some of these guys are stuck on, oh, he's a rookie. He got to learn from veterans. He got to learn what? He know how to pass the ball. He know how to play the game. Let him play. So that's why I was telling even Gentry and the other one, I said, you know what? He tried to experiment and try to have Lonzo come with the second unit off the bench. I said, man, I had to tell him, my son is not a role player, man. You're never going to get the best out of him. But I'll tell you what, Lonzo ain't going to never be like, yo, man, I need to be in there. I mean, he ain't going to do that. He's too calm and cool. He's going to let you do whatever you want him to do. That's why when I come in, I'll be like, man, that ain't going to work, man. Give him 35, 40 minutes a game if you want to win. And let him do what he does. And guess what? Everybody like, oh, he's out of the spotlight. He's not with the Lakers no more. So he's doing so much better. When you're a professional, you're playing around a lot of people anyway. So he already know how to grow up. He know what he about in L.A. So he can do the L.A. scene on the fact that he's not from the country. And you take him to the city to see all these pretty women and cars that you go ballistics and you in the clubs all day. You ain't catching my boy like that because he know how to handle that. So going to New Orleans, the only thing different in the situation, and it's not me or the place where he's at, it's the coaching. Luke and Gentry, two different coaches.
Yeah, that makes sense. And LeBron, LeBron, he's not playing with LeBron, obviously.
Hey, if he would have played with LeBron and they let him play with LeBron, he'd still been there. They did that one time and both of them got a triple-double. Didn't see him like that play again. Luke said, too much success, leave that alone. We won't do that again.
The spotlight is definitely still – it's not like he went to a team that where there's no buzz. There's obviously buzz in New Orleans because right. Zion's there.
Zion got that name. I got that buzz. He's the first pick. You got to have buzz.
Exactly. So it's
but I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you this.
Tell us.
Take my boy out of the situation and see how much buzz you get. He'll probably still be out for the season. He saw him say,
no. What you got against Zion?
You think they only brought Zion back
because LeVar's on the team? I don't have nothing against Zion, man. That's a young kid, talented. That boy can play. LeVar can run and jump. But I'm telling you this, I don't care how fast you can run and jump. If you ain't got nobody to get you that ball, guess what you're going to be doing? Running and jumping out there for nothing. Put another guard with him to see if you get that. Let me see if you get that, I guarantee you, because your mind won't allow you. If you're a rookie, guess what you're saying? I'm trying to come up too. Lonzo, he don't care about the limelight. How you let Brandon Ingram play in the Lakers all this time, go play one season with Lonzo, and now you are all-star? Is it that much of a change? he know how to get him the ball. He know how to let him play. And he know how to let everybody get their shine and say, yo, Zoe behind him 110%. Like, yo, he's an all-star. Zion's the best on the team. Lonzo ain't trying to be like, hey, look at me, baby. But I tell you what, take him out the situation and watch what happens. I told him what's going to happen to Kuzma. And look, they thought I was crazy when I was telling them Lonzo made Kuzma.
Man. Kuzma hasn't been that – he wasn't that bad with the Lakers this year.
Oh, see, look at you. See, you trying to be nice and political. You said that bad. So, basically, he was bad to you, but just not that bad.
He didn't take a step up.
Don't put bad in the situation if he's good.
People expected him to be like a third option. He's not that kind of player, LeVar.
Hey, I could have told you that, but you don't want to listen.
How do you think people are going to look back on that trade in 5 years?
How people going to look back at it in 5 years?
Yeah. Because we're already looking back at it right now.
I think people will look at it both ways. Seeing the success, if New Orleans has as much success, they're going to say, oh, that was the best trade. If they don't have success, then they're going to talk bad about it. Like, I told you they wasn't that good and this and that. But it's no matter what happens, it's going to be controversy going either way.
If the Lakers win one title, just one with
one Andy, title. Hey, you must didn't hear me a while ago.
I heard what you said. You guaranteed them, none.
If you ever get rid of Lonzo, you will never, ever, ever, ever win another title until my boys decide to come back.
So who would have won the championship this year if, let's say, if it was on time, like the season happened like normally? Who would have won the championship?
I don't know who would have won, but I'll tell you who wouldn't have won. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you would have been low-key pulling for the Clippers?
I ain't going to low-key. You know who I'm pulling for? The upset of the world. New Orleans Pelicans upset.
Well, they weren't even
the
in
Lakers.
The playoffs, though.
But
I'm talking about if we were still time going on, we would have made the playoffs. And then I'm going to tell you what the matchup would have been. Lakers versus Pelicans. Biggest watch game ever.
How many games?
And just like Golden State upset Dallas many years ago,
yep.
Guess what? This time comes back around, and it would have been a time for the Pelicans to do that.
You're calling the 8 over the 1 seed.
How many games would that have gone?
Who cares? Go to 7, don't it? 5, whoever wins the most, that's what I'm talking about. 5 games, 7 games, whatever.
But the Pelicans weren't – I mean, they obviously Zion Williamson wasn't around the first time they played, I think, was in December. And more, the Lakers ended up being 3-1 or 4-0 against the Pelicans, I think it was. So, I mean, they
– Oh, yeah, and they struggled both times. The first time they played –
Well, I wouldn't say – no, you can't say struggled.
Nah, the first game was close. Hey, the first game
was a good game.
The first game they struggled against the Pelicans.
Hey, first, second, third. I mean, hey, well, you know, on the other games, man, you just got to leave Lonzo in there and let him do what he does. That's where you let him play the longest part of the game. Here's the thing. In the playoffs, it's not an old man's game. It's a young man's game. They're going
to
win.
Why do you say
AD,
that?
AD and what's the name, and LeBron, they're not going to last. When you're playing against a running team first, your legs going to be gone.
Yeah, but in the playoffs, the pace slows down. You don't have the running gun the way you do in the regular season.
It slows down because everybody says that until you have Lonzo
in the
playoffs.
It does. You look at the pace statistics, the game slows down.
Let me tell you, it's supposed to slow down unless you have somebody say, we don't slow down. If you got a coach saying go 100 miles an hour and you keep saying, oh, man, forget slowing down, walking down, speed it up. They ain't going to speed it up for 7 games. You know, man, all you got to do is double-team AD and LeBron until they're so tired. Let somebody else beat you.
That's it? Double-team AD?
All right, man, don't let me coach. It'll be over, man. I'll be the first dude to press.
Who's Lonzo guarding in a Lakers matchup? Who they putting – who's guard Lonzo and who's Lonzo guarding?
Well, don't make it a one-on-one thing.
You just talked about Lonzo speeding up the pace.
Okay, speeding up the pace. Lonzo, he can guard anybody who's dribbling the ball. You just stay in front of him. What you got to do is be ready.
LeBron plays point guard usually for the Lakers. That's
okay,
why
you can stay in front of LeBron. You just got to bother him. You can stay in front of LeBron.
Yeah, but the Pelicans didn't have any answer for LeBron when they played. Yeah, you can't put Drew Holiday on him.
Thank you. How you going to put Holiday on LeBron? How you going
to
put
Holiday's a good
defender?
No, no, wait. Holiday's a good defender. You have to give him credit for that. But LeBron's a beast. You can't slow down LeBron like that the entire
time. He's still only 6'4", going against 6'8", 6'9". Nobody can guard LeBron one-on-one.
Yeah.
So, therefore, double-team his ass. Very easy. I'll take the weakest person on the bench and say double him every time.
There we go.
Double him every time. I don't care who open.
And
double team Bradley is very easy.
But Alvin Gentry, take notes.
Take notes. If you call me, I'll teach you how to beat him.
LeVar, there was a perception that you went out of the spotlight after the trade and all that. Was that a reality or what happened there?
What are you talking about? Talk to me again. You said a perception.
The perception was that you weren't out in the media as much after Lonzo went to the Pelicans. You weren't, you know, doing your hits and making like bold predictions, all this kind of stuff. Was that a reality or was it just?
Yeah, it felt like you had a lower profile for a while.
See, here's the thing. When as you get bigger as a businessman, I got to be some other places. And I ain't got time to do all that. And people talking about, well, Lonzo's in the Pelicans. Lonzo only did his thing for the year. What do you want me to do? Come up here and say, I told you he's so good. Shoot, I got to make sure Big Baller Brand is on deck. I got to make sure Melo's on deck. I got to make sure Jello's doing his thing. I got a lot of stuff going on, man. Folks, if you don't see me in the press and news, don't mean I'm not doing nothing. I got some other adventures going ahead because I don't want to be stable. But when they pop up and they see all this stuff, they're going to be like, I didn't know Big Baller was still working like that. We have an epidemic. We ain't supposed to work.
Well, we're just saying we miss you courtside these NBA games. We miss seeing you, you know, doing your thing at MSG.
You can go courtside when you stay in LA and it's right down the street.
Yeah.
I'm not flying to no New Orleans to go sit courtside.
I know, but we didn't see you at Staples Center at all this year.
Well, my son don't play for the Lakers.
I mean, but he made a couple appearances.
Whenever he comes home from New Orleans to play the Lakers, I go.
There we go.
Other than that, I won't be there.
Let's talk about Big Baller Brand because there's been some developments. Obviously, first of all, give us the status of it, but then let's talk about the Rock Nation thing.
Okay, the status of Big Baller Brand is great, man. Like I said, everybody was talking about, oh, it's over, it's this, it's that. Man, the only way Big Baller Brand going to be over is if I stop. It don't matter if Melo stop, Jello stop, Zoe stop. If I stop it, then it's a done deal. But if I don't stop it, it's going to keep going. And like I said, all I did was make my team 110% better with folks around me, and the growth of it is going to be phenomenal. It's an independent family brand. It ain't going to never stop.
But you officially relaunched it like a few months ago, but did any core values or anything about the business like really drastically change?
Well, yeah, a lot of things drastically change. The customer service, the quality of the material. I mean, anytime you want to succeed or go higher in your business, you're going to have to make change. And like I tell everybody before, it wasn't nothing wrong with the brand. Somebody did something bad within the brand. Mm-hmm. That don't mean that the brand is bad. You know what I'm saying? So now I have more knowledge, which I've learned. It's like no matter how much money and stuff you're making, you can't have one person doing everything where you think he's doing everything. Like, do that for me. So now my thing is more hands-on now. I got more people around me that staying in a lane and doing separate things. And it's just a better feel. It's a better atmosphere to work in where everybody's held accountable. And I think in order to succeed in business, you have to learn those things.
So the issues of you guys being unable to deliver, you know, the sneakers, right, which is like the big thing about you guys, that's the thing of the past.
That's the thing of the past, man. That's the thing of the past. And one of my guys that used to work with me back in the day, I was like, man, how we can't get all these orders out? What's the deal with this? And he explained the thing completely to me where now I really understand what went wrong in that aspect. It's like, if you don't do the inventory, and then all of a sudden you get this big wave of everybody wanting something, and say you want two shirts and a hat, and we didn't do the inventory and we don't have the hats. So now we have to wait to send you two shirts and wait for the hat. We can't just send you two shirts and say, oh, we're gonna send you the hat later. So now guys wait another extra week or two and then forget about the order. Cause now the hats are in and we forgot about this when you have to go back. And that's how things got messed up. Where now my guy in charge now, I call him Techno Joe. That boy own it so fast that nothing is like that anymore. And everything is step by step. And it does the inventory every time. And it's just a better way of doing things, man. So that's why we're getting a lot of people emailing me saying, who's ever in charge now? Man, keep that guy. Because we're getting our stuff in a day or two before. I mean, it's awesome. And it's just a good feeling now. It's a great feeling.
Did you guys officially, though, I mean, because people were still complaining about the sneakers never being delivered. Did those eventually get delivered to everyone that ordered them?
Yes. My guy did as much as he could with the emails, which is, you know, Joe said, email me with the numbers that you guys have. Because, you know, the other guy, he told people took their money for the shoes and didn't. But yeah, we don't know if they don't have their shoes or not. You can't just call us and say, I didn't get my shoes, but you don't have no receipt. Well,
yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So everybody, it's a hard way to do it. But my guy, Techno Joe, he did it the best way he could. Saying, you know what? If you guys got this paperwork to show that you bought the shoe, I'm going to get you to them.
Techno Joe's on it.
So it was great.
So obviously, everybody signed to Rock Nation.
Yes.
First thing there, though, did Jay-Z get his shoes? Because Jay-Z said,
Jay-Z got his shoes, man.
He never said he didn't. He's just saying he ordered a few. So I think
we got out Jay-Z's shoes. I know somebody had to get out Jay-Z's shoes. If Jay-Z didn't get his shoes, that's because he was on the boat with Beyonce and he missed them.
You can't deliver to the Mediterranean.
But Jay-Z, he's a good thing. Like I said, man, the things we went through to get to Roc Nation, I think you have to go through those things. And I tried to do the friend thing. That's with Harrison. That was the first agent who I gave Lonzo to. Mm-hmm. He couldn't really do nothing for Jello that I thought he should have been able to do. So guess what? You out. So now we bring in the biggest in the game, which was CAA. Now, CAA, you're not doing exactly what we want you to do. You're doing what you feel like you want to do. So that ain't going to work. So that's how we came to Roc Nation. Everything is lined up on the fact that the mindset is different. Like Jay-Z, let me create, you know, Roc Nation, my own thing. Mm-hmm. So that's more on our wave to understand that my boys are something special, and you can't give them the regular endorsement deal on the fact they ain't here with their own brand. So you got to come at them a little different. And, you know, and having all the other ties with other things they got going on with Roc Nation as far as music and other things.
Was there any other consideration? So say like Clutch was like, yo, we're interested in the three kids, or was it always going to be Roc Nation for this next step?
No. I think you have to fill it out and see what it is. Like it might have been Clutch. You know, I still talk to Rich Paul. He's a good friend, you know, but I got to see what's best for my boys in the situation. What we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
Did Jay get involved at all? I mean, did you guys have negotiations?
Well, you know, Jay got to get involved.
We obviously want to get a little bit of the background. Like, how intimate was Jay in the conversations and getting you guys into the fold?
Well, here's the thing. I ain't talked to Jay, but he got people that work for him, so we got to talk to them first.
Yeah.
And you know, when he's doing other things, but he didn't talk to my boys, and I just haven't talked to him. But my boys has talked to him, and the guys that he got lined up that's on his team, I've talked to them, and I've kind of like, okay, talk to them over the phone, but we need to have a meeting, but without, you know, the pandemic going on, nobody could fly around and get that collaboration. We were going to actually meet up right before everything happened, because it was a Clipper game. They was going to come down and watch the Pelicans play the Clippers, and that was the perfect time that we never got a chance to do that.
What's the fit looking like for the next Roc Nation brunch, LeVar? Because you know that's a big thing. So you got the Roc Nation brunch. Jay-Z does a Roc Nation brunch.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
He does like a brunch every spring. Like all the big celebrities show up and everything. It's like a big thing. It's like a,
Oh, okay. I never heard of that.
Yeah, Roc Nation brunch.
Google Roc Nation brunch. That's what it's called, Roc Nation brunch.
LeVar, I guarantee you're getting an invite this year with the Roc Nation deal. Yeah, they need Big Baller Brand there.
Big Baller Brand, the step and repeat at the Roc Nation brunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But is that like a big thing? Because like, all you guys seem like
chops,
you know about
it. Is it Grammys or Oscars weekend?
It's Grammys weekend. Yeah. It's a big thing. Yeah. No, it's a big thing. All the big celebs go.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure, you know, with the pandemic, I mean, by next spring, it should be back on.
The board's going to get invites. Just make sure you're one of the plus ones.
Yeah.
One of the plus ones. Okay.
All right, you mentioned casually collaboration with, you know, Jay-Z and Roc Nation. One of the rumors has been a potential Big Baller Brand and Puma collab, because obviously Jay-Z has the Puma ties. So is that potentially down the road? Are you guys having discussions? Is that something you think could actually happen?
You got to think it's potentially down the road, lest we wouldn't even, you know, collaborate with these guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And like I said, I'm not going to know until we have a meeting and sit face to face, and I see what they bring into the table, and they see what I'm bringing to the table. And if we can be both transparent on what we want out of the deal, and it works together, then we'll do it. If not, it's okay. We'll just stick to other things that we're doing and go from there.
That makes sense. LeVar, have you been watching The Last Dance?
The Last Dance, yes. Oh, I mean, what else is left to watch, man? Ain't nothing left. Especially if you're basketball fans. And here's the thing. We've already seen all this happen before, man.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, you guys are not that young where you haven't seen Michael Jordan play. You know, that's for the younger kids to see how this guy will.
I'm that young.
Well, that, yeah. That,
our man Zion right here. This is all new to Zion right here.
That's not new. It's not new, but.
It's new. It's new. No, he's lying right now.
Well, you're a youngster, and you ain't seen him do his thing. Man, that boy was cold, man.
Well, LeVar, you know everybody's going to bring up the Michael Jordan quote you had a few years back about the one-on-one.
One-on-one. He can't do nothing with me. Too fast, too strong.
You're watching this now, and you're like, hey, he's still.
I can watch this now, later, with Jesus. He still can't beat me one-on-one. Not one-on-one.
Why?
I'm just bagging him in. He too little.
All right, are you being Zion one-on-one?
Am I being Zion? Man, if I can beat Michael Jordan, you know I can beat Zion too slow.
You just said it's too big and too fast. Zion is too big and too fast for you.
Too fast for me? He's not strong enough for me.
He's 285.
Zion ain't strong enough for me. What?
He's 285.
Okay, just because you weigh a lot mean you're strong? Okay, I was so 270 and cat quick. Ain't no way he can guard. He's too slow. I'm watching him.
LeVar, how would you have reacted if, say, one of your sons was playing back in the day and Michael Jordan punched them in the face in practice like he punched Steve Kerr?
How would I respond or my son respond?
How would they respond and you respond?
Well, shoot, man, come on, man. Hey, let me ask you this. Now, I know you have. I wouldn't have to say nothing because I instilled that in my boys from day one. Did you see the way Melo slapped the shit out of that boy overseas?
Yeah. I saw that.
That's to tell you right there. Somebody taught him, if somebody put their hands on you, pow, before they even react. That's going to happen with all my boys. I teach them that from babies.
That's good to know.
I ain't got to be like, oh, you hit my son. Here I come. Shoot, my son better lay off on you so quick you don't know to tomorrow.
I think a lot of people didn't know that that's how Michael Jordan was in practice. He was a very intense individual.
Well, let me tell you this, man. When you playing basketball and you that good, everybody's going to get a little testy. I wanted to fight my brothers, and that's my family playing against them. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine somebody you don't know if you that competitive, you're going to get into that game like that. And if you put the spotlight on all the players, they all like that. But if you don't put the spotlight on like that, some people's names ain't big enough. And it's like, man.
I think some people would argue LeBron wouldn't be like that intense. I think the big discussion has been that LeBron doesn't treat his teammates like that.
LeBron don't treat his teammates like that. Well, that's because y'all ain't caught him on film teaching him like that. That's all. They just ain't caught him on film. I'm pretty sure going through his career, he done said that a few times. Like, man, what's your problem? And if they really got a close up, when he was playing in high school, the little bitty guard acted up and he tried to pull him to the side. He probably cussed him a few times because I don't see LeBron being young and from the hood talking about, come on guys, you got to get it right. I'm pretty sure he threw some verbal language through there that said, man, what the you doing, man? Your daddy over there coaching you over here effing up the game. But you know, they don't want to catch that part.
Yeah, the Drew Joyce, back in the day.
Yeah. You know, I look at The Last Dance on some of the things where I see Mike when he says, well, I wish you guys could be me more than a day. I don't want to be like this. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I had an easy remedy to that. Stop shooting the ball that much, be sorry as hell, and just go about your business. Ain't nobody going to treat you like that no more. He being that good because he want to be treated like that. He like folks coming up to him. And it's just like, oh, I have to go to this interview and that interview. And I'm so tired and I don't want to do this. All this. Yes, you do. Elsewise, you would be sorry. Pass the ball every single time. Let them ridicule you for a minute. And then you're going to just fade out.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that MJ greenlit this doc on the day that the Cavs won the 2016 title.
Yeah, see, come on, man. That's why I said, and he said, that's the, you know, I just look at some of the things when he say, well, that's the type of person I am. I want to tell you everything. You want to tell me everything after you turn 50? Stop it.
That's very true.
Now they come out with that one. Now they're coming out with another one called Black Ball.
The Clippers one, yes, the Clippers
died. I mean, they coming out with so much old stuff, man. I might try to go find some of my old dudes in the hood to come out with my own thing.
I was saying, when's the LeVar Ball documentary coming out?
I know. I got to go find my folks. Either they have dead or in jail. That's going to be a hard thing trying to look for these folks.
You got to find the footage?
You got to find it. And they had no footage, man. That's, you got to hear what they got to say. You know how many people had cameras in the hood? None. That's why when the newsman come in there, man, they used to perform in the background. Like, oh, they're on camera.
So the stories from your younger days would be absolutely wild.
Man, you hear some stories from back in my days, man. Y'all be shocked, man. It'll be a shock. Because some of the stuff that I have, man, it's like if you ever run into some dudes that was back in my heyday, and they know how I talked and how I was, man. Even like a lot of people that went to college with me, man, and I told them, you know, with my wife, when I first met her, I walked up to her. I asked her a name or nothing. And I said, you know what? I don't know what me and you going to do, but we're going to do something together. And now everybody who's with me or heard that go through the whole campus, say, oh, that dude's cocky. And to see that me and Tina is married now with three boys, they'd be like, man, that dude said the exact same thing. And I told her how many boys we was going to have. And I said, we're going to have three. I said, because you can't have babies like that. I'm telling you. You know, here's a weird thing that I always say, though. People who can't usually take care of a lot of kids, they don't have no problem having no kids. And people that usually can take care of them, you might have one, two, three at the most. And it's weird like that. Because I know some girls, man, that's in the hood, have babies so easy. It's like, man, how many babies you got? Eight? Seven? Like, dang. And then you got folks that live in these nice neighborhoods. How many kids you got? One? Two? You know, but it's just like that. Oh, well. That's just my philosophy. You know, everybody else got a different philosophy. But I knew I was going to have me three boys.
There you go. You called it, LeVar. You have a nice appreciation of 90s era basketball, I would say, and today's basketball. A lot of debates come up, especially one between who's better, Draymond Green and Charles Barkley. That has sent social media off the reservation. What do you think about when something like Charles Barkley gets compared to Draymond Green?
When Charles Barkley gets compared, see, you're asking the wrong dude now, because I don't like Charles no more. Charles was my favorite player.
Well, that's why I asked you, LeVar.
He was my favorite player back in the day. Now, shoot, I'm siding with Draymond Green. Draymond Green, a better, way better player than Bro Kip. Donut man. I don't deal with him no more, man, because he talks so crazy and stupid and idiotic that I'm just like, man, come on.
Yeah, but you got to be able to separate the commentator from the player.
Well, let me tell you this, man. They're always going to talk about the controversy of people in different eras. You're never going to get that. You know, who's a better player, this guy or that guy? You're never going to get it. You're always going to have controversy and talking, so you really can't say who's better, you know. Because if you want to talk about the baddest guy to play the game, look at Kareem. Nobody can stop the hook shot. Mm-hmm. That's a cold offensive weapon when you can just throw the ball inside and he's going to give you a hook shot with either hand. And for them to say, you know, the stuff that Will Chamberlain did back in the day. But the best thing you could say is, oh, that guy wouldn't have did this in that era. Oh, that guy wouldn't have did this in that era. Well, you don't know. You don't know. Because I'm going to tell you some other things that went on in them eras, too, where politically some other things was going through them dudes' heads. I don't know if you can play with that kind of stuff on your head. These youngsters nowadays, you ain't got nothing on your head.
You get different kind of problems.
Exactly. Like, you understand what I'm saying. And it's like, man, come on. Let's put everything in the right situation. Let's just put him in there and let him play. See if they're going to, you know, jam you up after this game.
But you can at least acknowledge that Charles Barkley, with his stats and the overall skill set, was a better player than Draymond.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Draymond, better ball handler, better shooter.
LeVar,
I don't know about that, LeVar. Come
Charles.
On. Nah, from three. Maybe it's a different era. Charles didn't take
Charles
three.
Didn't shoot
oh, see, now we're going back
now
to a different era. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you have to have context for this.
I'm going on this right here. Draymond going to take more jumpers than Charles. Because like you said, Charles is so strong, he going inside. They put that rule in where you can't keep dribbling the ball for 5 seconds doing that. Because Charles' butt was so big,
he can't back down for 10 seconds.
Kill you one-on-one. He's going to kill you one-on-one like that. Like you said, the era has changed where you got guys doing better things now. Charles is like, man, I might dribble up once or twice, go around everybody and dunk. But Charles is the guard first. But then people start passing him the ball because he's so strong in the paint. So that's why I'm saying Draymond dribbling the ball more and shooting more, so that's going to make you better at that. But as far as being a better rebounder and a better scorer, I'm going to have to go with Charles.
Yeah, of course. And if you need someone to take over a game, Charles can take over a game. I don't know if Draymond can actually do that.
Well, you don't know if Draymond can take over a game yet because he's never been put in that situation.
I mean, fair. I mean, with the talent around him, that's fair.
If you're a franchise player, so you got
But he's never
guy.
Asked to do that also. Charles was asked to do that all the time with the Sixers and the Suns.
Well, when you're paying the most money for a guy, I'm asking you to do it too.
Yeah,
but when you got Clay, Draymond. What's saying, hey, just do enough.
Draymond
we're good.
Averaging a triple single.
LeVar, did you say what's his name? You say what's his name? His name's Steph. Come on.
He knows.
You know what? Here's the thing. When you your age, you remember everybody's name. You get my age and you got so many names, you say, what's his name? I'd say, what's his name to my own son? I don't know which one coming around the corner.
He's got business on
the mind. Telling you two things is happening, man. I'm still sharp with my wits, but I'm getting old.
I feel on that. LeVar, before we get you out of here, can we play a little quote game?
Yes.
So we have four quotes, and they're either from you or another famous person, and we're going to see who can tell who they were from, okay?
Okay.
So here's the first one. I know I must be a genius to plan it this well.
Me. How would I not know? I got to be dumb as hell or old as hell. I can't remember if I don't know what I said.
Yeah, well, we're just...
Well, we're testing that memory right now.
We're testing the memory. We're testing
it. Okay, there you go.
LeVar, that was a LeVar Ball quote. One of my favorite ones. I love that one. I know I must be a genius to plan it that well. And look, you're about to have two sons in the NBA... And Jello's in the
I'm about
G
to
League.
Have three in the
You're
NBA.
You're about to have three in the NBA. So that quote is looking very good in hindsight. Here's another one. I didn't want to play it boring or play it safe. I also didn't want to innovate too much.
I don't know who that is.
Too many words.
Any word to say safe in it, that ain't me.
Any guesses, Zion or Adam?
No. I don't know.
Repeat it one more time and I'll say, let me see.
I didn't want to play it boring or play it safe. I also didn't want to innovate too much.
Man, who the hell says something like that?
Is a sports figure?
No, that is Kanye West. Kanye West said that.
Oh, Kanye West. Wow,
bro. Yeah. Come on, bro. Wait,
is that the good Kanye or the bad Kanye?
This was older Kanye. This was before.
So the good Kanye. You know, the Kanye we actually fucked with. Okay.
Yeah. That was before, you know.
Not MAGA Kanye.
Yeah, well, all right, we went there. All right, here's another one. There's only two dudes better than me, and I'm both of them. There we go. Where did you say that, LeVar? Do you remember when you said that?
I say it every night before I go to bed.
Well, you said it in public this one time on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, I know I said it a few times. Yeah. I don't know, but I always
That was when you guys appeared on Raw. And a great appearance. I'm actually surprised you haven't been back on WWE television with your sons.
Wow, me either.
Because that's like the perfect area for you. You could definitely be a wrestling manager if you wanted to in another life.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be no wrestling manager. Too much time.
I got you. All right, here's one last one. There's no I in team, but there is a win.
That ain't me. That's somebody else. Say that again.
There's no I in team, but there is an I in win.
I just heard that. Michael Jordan.
That is Michael Jordan, yes.
Yeah, because he was talking about that, man. One of the coaches was telling him, yo, we got to do this because we got to play like a team.
Doug Collins, Phil,
we don't want to do the trying. We want to stay with this type of stuff. He said, nah, man.
Yeah,
it's either an MJ quote or a Kobe quote.
It was MJ, Adam.
Yes. That was MJ, first.
MJ, yes, Michael Jordan. All right, so there we go. You know, all four of those are kind of similar, LeVar, so I was just trying to, you know, Give the people some perspective on the genius of LeVar.
Hey, man, y'all good at what you do. I got to tell you.
We appreciate that, LeVar.
I got to ask you one last thing, because Adam's a Knicks fan, and I'm a Knicks hater. Okay. So, obviously, the Knicks are a pathetic franchise, we know.
They are.
How can LaMelo Ball save the Knicks franchise?
LaMelo Ball can save the Knicks franchise if he get his two brothers over there with him.
Is that the only way?
The only way.
What would a conversation between you and James Dolan be like?
You got all three of my boys over there. It'd be very good. I'll let you know. We'll be winning and grinning. But I'm going to tell you this. Check this out. Just being realistic. If all three of my boys is on the same team playing in New York, what other game is there to watch?
Can you just do me a favor as a Knicks fan? Can you make enough billions with Big Baller Brand to buy out James Dolan?
Oh, man.
Do that, please.
We'll see, man. And you know what? Here's the thing, which y'all don't even know. He might be nice when I get over there. If I get over there.
Well, here's the thing. The players actually say nice things about James Dolan as, you know, a guy who takes care of the players. Now, the people that work under him and the fans and everyone around, you know, who worship him.
He might change. You never know. He might change. He might change his attitude if he start winning a lot and everybody start being, you know, more conscious towards him, well, and giving him a little better.
If your son is as transcendent as you think he is,
not as I think, as I know.
Excuse me,
all believe in the same thing that we're trying to do here, and it'd be a good thing.
LeVar, as a Cavs fan, you did say you did not want LaMelo to go to the Cavs, so that kind of hurt me.
Smart man.
Hey, no, this is what other people didn't understand, too. They asked me where I would like him to go, like I said, to the Knicks, big city. My thing is this. Wherever the best coach is going to believe in him and let him do what he does, I don't care where he at.
There we go.
You know what?
You guys already been to Cleveland.
Thing. They say, where would you like him to go, LeVar? You know, the preference is like this, the big city is like that. But I want him to go somewhere, because you can go to a big city and have a raggedy-ass coach and be like he was with the Lakers. We was right next door with the bad coaching. What I'm saying. You got to have the best coach who believes in you, because no player is going to be as good as he is until he has somebody. It's just like before Magic really got going. That dude, what's his name? Paul Westhead had won championships. But to let Magic go, that's when Pat Riley came in and said, dude, do what you do. Mm-hmm. Phil came in with Jordan. I believe in Jordan doing this. You just got to have the right coach come in there and believe in you and let you do what you do. And that's how you get to be successful. You could be as good as hell, but if you don't have the right coach behind you, it's not going to work.
Well, the best coach at the top of the draft is Steve Kerr. So then if you want that to be the avenue of success, you better hope that the Warriors land that number one pick and take your kid.
If you take him, I mean, to Kerr, like I said, how do you coach the Golden State Warriors? I mean, God, you got that many players. I mean, you can coach him, man. Come on. Close your eyes and feel the
toes. It's about managing personalities. You got to manage personalities, LeVar.
Yeah, that's true.
What personality you got to manage when you're winning?
You got to massage Kevin Durant's egos.
LeVar, there's been a lot of Kevin Durant stuff recently that shows that it was not easy for them.
Hey, you can say what you want after he's gone, but when he was there, trust and believe. You see what happened when he wasn't there.
That's true.
You can't beat Toronto.
There are some injury situations there.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, when you got these guys, but you can talk about everybody's attitude when they win it. And then when they lose, I mean, when they leave, that's when you could be like.
Yeah, but ego eventually breaks up great teams.
Well, that's what happens. That's why one of the things that I always say is if all three of my boys get on the same team, I tell them it's a wrap, because all three of my boys are good and they're not going to play for the money and they would play their entire career together, because neither one of them is going to be like, well, I'm scoring the most points now. Give me 50 mil. Well, I'm the leader. Give me 60 mil or I'm gone. You'll never be able to break them up. And once they figure that recipe on how to win, now you make the sacrifices of don't pay each one of my boys 50 mil, 50 mil, 50 mil. How about you pay them 30, 30, 30 and go get the other players to help them rebound?
There we go. And
play defense. And so now you're not giving them top dollar, but they'll make so much off the court that you won't even worry about that.
There we go.
Now you have championship teams again. You can't have no championship team now because everybody won't be their own and they're not together. It's just like, okay, LeBron, you want with Kyrie. Kyrie, you want your own team? Come over here. Get you more money and your own team. Bye. Now, you never going to get these guys. Look at KD. Win a couple of championships. I got my rings now. I'm good. I'm solidified as champion. Bye.
It's usually how it happens.
It's going to happen like that because when you brought up in the hood, you to be that dude, you got to be a solo man. You got to be like, I'm trying to get mine. Elsewise, you're not going to be that superstar. That's what the grit and grind come from. And one of the things which I alleviated from my boys is if I always told them, somebody got to be better than Jordan, why not you? Where a lot of these other guys, in the pressure that they put on their kids, you 18, 19, with all this talent, and you saying, yo, you got to make it to the league so you can get us and the family out of the hood. I never told my boys, hurry up, man, so you can get me and your mama out of Chino Hills. We don't like these pools and hills and stuff like that. Hurry up and get us up out of here. You know, so it's no pressure on them where people was thinking the pressure. Because usually where you're putting all this pressure on an 18, 19-year-old kid to become a lottery pick and to bring the whole family and everybody up out of that. I take that out of my boys so they're not playing for the money. So what happens is some of these guys get to the NBA and make their little money, and then they ease up, like, okay. My boys is the drive itself within on the fact that I told them somebody got to be the best ever. Why not you? So that's what they playing for.
Makes sense to us, LeVar. Thank you, LeVar, so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Man, I appreciate y'all. And y'all have a blessed day out there.
Yes, you too, LeVar. We'll see you later.
LeVar, thank you, man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Huge shout out to LeVar Ball for joining us. I think he delivered on everything and more than we thought we were going to talk about. He didn't know about the Rock Nation brunch. That was my biggest takeaway, I think. I can't wait to see his fit.
You know? he needs to go to the Rock Nation brunch. And if his boys now with Rock Nation, which whatever, I think the official announcement was a few weeks ago, the boys are definitely going to get invites if they're not playing ball when it's going down. And LeVar needs to come with the most outrageous, ridiculous tuxedo of all time in true LeVar Ball fashion. But that was LeVar Ball that you expected. He brought the energy. He answered every question. He made proclamations. He took some shots. He was his honest, typical LeVar Ball self. And it was, I think it was one of the more fun conversations we've had with our guests recently.
Yeah, I loved it. We even got some Zion shots about how young he is.
We always get those shots in.
Yeah,
BBB,
we do.
Though. It's BBB till we die. You feel me?
There we go. Zion,
you got,
wearing
you got shoes
right
on the
now.
Way, pal?
Yeah, Zion.
No, I should have asked for a shirt. That's what I should
have. Right? We should. I'm about at? To. Yeah, I'm
what are you talking about? You DM people left and right using complex sports to get all kinds of shit.
You should have asked for your order.
I was too scared to ask for my order. The backstory is I ordered big BBB shoes, and I was too scared to ask during that episode.
So you never got your sneakers?
No.
You got your money back, though, right?
No.
What are you doing then? You should have. Oh, come on, man.
$495.
We asked if Jay-Z got his sneakers. Why didn't you ask if you got yours?
Because like he would ask me for maybe the confirmation number.
He would have taken care of you right there. Business is booming for Big Ball the Brand.
Shout out
right
to
now.
Techno Jerry. Yeah.
Techno Joe.
My bad. Yeah, shout out to him. BBB is back and better than ever, it sounds like. Zion's
so,
decked
so Big
down
Ball
BBB
the Brand
right
owed
now.
You about $400 in apparel?
I need those shoes. Yeah, maybe I'll bring it up after this.
$495. you got zipped to the Zotus.
Yeah, I was gonna flip them. Maybe I don't know. You
probably weren't.
Yeah. Really fun episode. We appreciate everybody for listening once again. We're not stopping. We're continuing. We have hopefully another big episode lined up for next week. I'm excited for it. So
we'll talk about The Last Dance because those will be the final two episodes. And as of right now, as of Tuesday, when this episode drops, no one will have seen episodes 9 and 10. So hopefully we get some cool revelations and more Jordan throwing massive shade.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for it. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, rate, give us those 5 stars, listen, follow all of us on Twitter, PChop_, Adam Caparel on Twitter, whatever Zion's Twitter is. Follow Complex Sports on Twitter.
My full name, you know, don't disrespect
yeah.
me. Full.
If you want to follow Zion on Twitter.
Young Zion's desperate for Twitter followers, so
nah,
please.
I give him
no, yeah, you are, pal. You are, yeah.
You're
caping so hard on Twitter for followers. It's disgusting sometimes.
All right, end the episode.
Yeah, that's not true. But everybody, you know, have a very safe week. We love all of you, and thank you for listening. Special thanks to our producer, Alejandro De Jesus, our associate producer and sound engineer, Jasmine Plata, production manager, Chancel Correa, talent booker, Shanice Kelman, director of talent relations, Kristen Price, Harrell, manager of operations in LA, our man, Josh Dodd, senior director of operations, Jen Stewart. Very special shout out to my man, Donnie Kwok, for running the whole damn thing around here. We'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.